Today we're going to be in Acts 20, verse 17. And I'd actually prepared to go all the way through 38, but I think as far as we're probably going to realistically make it tonight is 21, because there's a lot there. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. Now, last time, as we had looked at Paul, he was in a series of travels. At Troas, there was the young man who had fallen asleep during what ended up being an all-night sermon. Fell asleep in the window, fell over backwards, hit the ground, dead. Paul went down, said that his life was still in him. And the Lord restored that young man, Eutychus. And then they continued on after they had eaten a little bit, until daybreak. And I don't know about you, but if you're ever up past midnight, I get hungry again. So I understand that quite well. Then they traveled on to Miletus from there. So that's where we pick this up in verse 17 today. From Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus. He's requesting them to come to talk with him. So let's pick up there. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." We have a few things that we're going to be looking at today. One is the full counsel of God being taught. And two are the things that Paul states that he proclaimed, that he taught, and that he testified of. And those two things being repentance and faith. But we'll get into those in a moment. Paul did not want to get caught up, apparently, in Ephesus, because he is in a bit of a hurry to try to get to Jerusalem. We're going to see as we go along that he understands by the Holy Spirit that it is bondage that is waiting him. He's going to be bound. And we'll see by the way that he even speaks of it. He says, "I go bound in the Spirit." So he knows it's of the Lord what's coming. So he's, just like he is with everything else, zealous to do the Lord's will, to get right to it and to not delay, even if it's something painful. So he calls the elders of the church to come meet him at Miletus. When they had come to him, this was the message he gave them. It wasn't a message of any kind of instruction in some small thing. Rather, he's showing himself to be a testimony by how he lived and reminding them of that. "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you." What's the intent of that? That they should continue to do the same. As we were singing, I was thinking of Moses and how the Lord says of Moses that he was the most humble. And you would think a person with all the accolades that Moses could have had, that might not have been the case. Yet instead, it is because of the leaning on the Lord, going to the Lord, asking the Lord, "Lord, this situation's been brought to me. It's one of the more difficult matters. What is the wisdom I need to have? How should I answer this? How should I judge?" He understood that everything he did was dependent upon God. Paul, in the same way here, he's reminding them by giving himself as an example. He's living and depending upon God in everything that he does. What manner of life or what manner I always lived among you, verse 19, serving the Lord. And really, before any of the other things happened, the teaching, the other things that he did, his intent was to serve the Lord. How? With all humility. To do it in any way that he could. Tent making may not have been a very glamorous thing to do, but in so doing it, it allowed him and some of those with him more time to be able to preach, to proclaim Christ, to teach the gospel, to give it, and to give that call to the Lord. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. We think of the number of times that he had been hurt since he had come to Asia. Stone presumed to be dead. And yet, this is giving that example to them. This is the manner that he lived, completely full out for the Lord. I have a question. Has there ever been a person who has lived their entire life with one thing in mind? All that I do, I will serve the Lord. Well, there's been one, Jesus. My question to you is, will you follow in what he has done? The way that Paul did, completely. No reservations. If it's pain ahead of me, bring it on if it's of the Lord. Whatever it is, whatever I have to face. Many tears. We've all had reasons to cry. Sometimes we've had spiritual reasons to cry. Let me remind you, you've never forgotten anyone who cried for you, have you? You remembered them. So Christ remembers you when your tears are on his behalf. Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. We've seen over the last few weeks many examples of that. Verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was helpful. Again, giving all of the Lord's words. If you look back at the prophets, what was their job? To proclaim what God had said. Plain and simple. Thus saith the Lord. And this is what he said. Moses, if you look at him, what did the Lord say? The people had come out. What did he say? When we see the restoration under Nehemiah and Ezra, what happens? They gathered for 4 days to hear what the Lord had to say. How I kept back nothing that was helpful. You can read something into that. He didn't say anything that was of his own mind. That wouldn't be helpful. What's helpful is the Lord's mind. I could tell you whatever tonight, but it wouldn't be very helpful if it just came from me. But if it was guided by the Holy Spirit, that's a different matter. We don't want to be people who are entertained, but rather those who entertain the Lord, who are here for him. Because he's always been here for us, just like the songs we were singing tonight. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. Think of heralding. What is he heralding? That which is helpful. What's the most helpful? Knowing Jesus personally. That's what he had to offer. Proclaimed it to you, taught you publicly, and from house to house. So not just in a larger format as a church, but then also come to each person's house and meet them at their own level where they live. You know how different it is when we're here or when you're at home with a brother from here or a sister from here. What's the difference? There is one. It's because it's more personal now. It's your home. It's your house. You've invited someone in closer. And so he would teach, not just in the public, but in the closeness of a personal relationship with the person, which is what he was teaching about Christ. A personal knowledge. What we all need. We don't need a big, vague God. We need who God really is. Real, personal, right here in our home. He proclaimed it, taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks. Well, what is testify? But to state his testimony. What's his testimony? That he met Jesus. That he was walking the wrong way. The Lord blinded him and then caused him to see not just physically, but to see spiritually, which is greater. What's your testimony? That you were going the wrong way, like me? That the Lord turned you around? That you realized that the things that you were doing, you were blindly walking through life? Until the Lord helped you to see what was real, what was really important, what was true. So, he proclaimed, he taught, he testified. What did he proclaim, teach, and testify? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to make it through half of this tonight. We're going to make it through repentance, hopefully. And the next time we'll tackle on faith as we move into the rest of this chapter. I ran into a thing from a guy named Jim Eliff. And I just want to pull out a few things from this. Because he mentioned some things that were worth note. And they were the substitutes for true repentance. See if these make some sense to you as we go through. You may reform in the actions without repenting in the heart. If you turn with me to Matthew 7, and we'll just kind of stick in Matthew for a little while. There's a lot in Matthew that has to do with repentance. Matthew 7, he's talking to the Pharisees. We're going to look actually at verse 7, because this is part of repentance. It's not just an action without a heart, but it's a continuous action. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Remember, repentance, according to the Bible, is a gift of God. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Jesus preached repentance while he was here, before he was taken up. In James, it says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter? From the same opening, can a fig, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. From James 3, 11 and 12. We don't need to be repentant in action, but not heart. What about the emotion of repentance? Can you have the emotion of repentance without the effect, without changing? Certainly. Turn with me to James. Keep your finger in Matthew, if you would. Our other place we're going to be looking at principally will be James. But we'll move around a little. James, the first chapter. Now let's see what it looks like when you have the emotion of repentance, but not the heart of repentance. James 1, 23. Well, we'll look at 22. be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Then verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, sees the sin, then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. Goes right back to it. Doesn't see it, doesn't continue in repentance. You may confess the words of a true repenter and never repent. Since we're over in Matthew, if you have your finger still there, Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 28 to 32. Can you say the right words and it not mean anything? Yes. But what do you think? Verse 28, Matthew 21, 28. What do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it, and he went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. It's one thing to say something, but you have to put it into action. There has to be the obedience to follow. You may not even be on the right track to start. You may say the wrong thing. But if then the Lord touches your heart and you do the right thing, he'll remember. You may repent for the fear of reprisal, not for the hatred of sin. You may wonder about the actions of men. Well, I won't do this because I'll go to jail. That might be a reason for repenting that doesn't change the heart. Well, the only reason I'm not doing it is because I'd go to jail. Not because my heart's any different. Remember, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. A better way to translate that word would be incurably wicked. Because we have to have a new heart. A heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. You may talk against sin in public, like the Pharisees. Let's look at an example of that. Matthew 23. Move forward just a little bit. Matthew 23, right at the beginning, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. Observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And guess what? Jesus can see through it. You may repent for temporary gain. Let's look at that. Matthew 16. Temporary gain. Matthew 16. 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Isn't that sort of what Paul is saying? Look at what I've done. I have denied myself and I have taken up my cross and followed Jesus. Remember, don't forget that last part, and follow me. If you just do the first part and you don't follow him, you're off. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Person may repent of lesser sins, as if there were any, for the purpose of avoiding dealing with greater ones. Well, I'm going to clean up in this spot. I'm not going to clean up the big problem. I don't want to tackle it. Cannot serve God and mammon. You love one, hate the other. The reference point for that would be Matthew 6:24. You may repent so generally that you don't repent of any specific sin at all. Is that possible? Lord, forgive me for all the sins that I may or may not have committed. Well, what about the ones that you know about? Flip over to Proverbs with me. Proverbs 28. We're going to look for verse 13, which says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. There may be some things we don't remember, genuinely, but we do remember genuinely to ask the Lord's forgiveness for those areas that we cannot remember. And then to confess sins means to bring it before the Lord directly as what it is, and then turn from it. It's possible also to repent for the love of friends or religious leaders, or to look better in church and not repent for the love of God. All I have to say there is remember Lot's wife. What happened? She had everything going on around her. Angels came to take them away. She looked back. She didn't repent. She wanted that life. You can look at that in Genesis 19, or you can look at what Jesus said about it in Luke 17:32. You may confess the finished act of sin and not repent from the continuing habit of sin. Is that possible? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Romans 8:13. What do we have to do then? There has to be a death. Ours. Old nature. I'm not going to pay attention to it at the moment. That's how you continue in sin. We have to die to that. Picture of baptism, dying to the old, being born again. You may attempt repentance of your sin while leaving open the door of opportunity. But in Romans 13, we're reminded, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Romans 13:14. You may make an effort to repent of some sins without repenting of the sin you know about. Oh, I'm not going to touch that one. Still like it. Still enjoying that one. The spirit is willing. Sometimes the flesh is weak. We can't stay there. We will eventually come to that place that we say, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this life of sin? Now, Paul mentions repentance and faith. And faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. They're bound together. A repenting man or woman has no hope for obedience without faith, and that without faith in the source of all holiness, God Himself. If we repent, we lose our self-sufficiency, and then God sanctifies us. Turn with me to Jude. I won't say which chapter. I'm going to make you guess. Jude, only one chapter, and we're going to look at verses 24 and 25. Who can help us? Who can help us walk this right walk? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. What does that mean but sinning? And to present you flawless, faultless, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Whose joy is it? Ours. Given to us because of him. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. If you would, back up to 1 Thessalonians. Give you a little Bible workout tonight. 1 Thessalonians. If you're not sure where that is, it's before 2 Thessalonians. 5. We're going to look at verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. How do we get there? On our own? No. Lord helps us to, continually. Something we need to know about repentance, though, to complete it. And that is, you can't repent by yourself. How do I mean? You can't say, I repent. Well, you can. It may not be true. Because repentance is a gift of God. Let's look back a little bit further in Acts 11. See what the Bible has to say about repentance. Acts chapter 11. It's after the Joppa episode. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent. They glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. You know what a government grant is? It's free money. It's a grant. It's not a loan. If God has granted something to you, it's his free gift to you. But it's also his to give. What's our course of action? To ask for it. Lord, not just forgive me of my sins, but Lord, help me to completely turn from the sin to the Savior, to not wanting what I wanted before, to wanting, Lord, what you have for me forever. If you find it very hard to pay attention for 15 minutes in church, for 45 minutes in church, for whatever the length of time, how will it be when you're in the church service that goes on for eternity in heaven? If you become angry or tired, think where your heart is. If you're not being taught the Word of God, maybe that's not the right place for you. Well, we want to teach the whole counsel of God, the repentance and the faith. And we'll look into faith next time as it relates to repentance and what Paul is preaching there in Acts. It's another place, if you would turn with me to, about repentance being a gift of God, 2 Timothy 2. Now we're getting a little bit of workout in our Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's pick it up in verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition to God, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. It's a gift. It's also a duty of men to accept and to do. How will you know if he's granted your request? How do you know if it's been fulfilled? Turn with me to Philippians 2. There's a good test to know if you have been granted repentance. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. How do you know if you have repentance? Obeying. How do you know that that's coming? Because God has caused you to want to. Secondly, to actually do it. Because he's working it out through you. You never had the strength to before. I don't know about you, if you ever tried to stop sinning on your own. That didn't work. Ever. Not even a little. You can confuse or fool yourself for a while. Usually confuse. Because you think you're doing okay on your own until it collapses. I know I have. Run toward repentance. Remember Revelation 3:19. Be zealous and repent. I have a question for you. Have you taken repentance seriously? It's what Jesus preached. We think about the kingdom, the good news, the different things that he came to do, but they all start with repentance. Peter's call in the beginning of Acts. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It's the key word. Turn your mind. How do you do that? Lord, turn my mind. Hear me. And then the next time you come to the Lord, again and again. Is it because of repetition? No, the Lord says don't repeat as the pagans do. Don't chant, Lord, repent, Lord, repent. Don't do that. Instead, be genuine with God. Be real with who you are. Remember who you are, too. Remember where you're weak. And remember who is strong. I wanted just to direct us back to Matthew a number of times today. Because any time that we're in the Word of God and we want real change, we need to seek Jesus. He said, Behold, I have made all things new. That includes us. Our heart and our mind. With that, we're going to close for tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for this church. Repentance. Whether it's on a large scale or small, wherever the heart's need is, for myself, for everyone here. Help us, Lord, to seek you out continually, to find the peace and joy in obedience, and to bring that pleasure to you, which our returned love gives, because you've given all. And your love surpasses all. To you be all the honor and glory in this time of change, changing our lives, conforming us into your image. In Jesus' name, amen.